They had chosen him, all right, but only for his youth and naivety. He would have been a puppet on the throne, a tool for the wielding of other men. Little more than a year on, and the one they called Aetherling was naive no longer. His ship had sailed north along the coast, then down the Firth to the river that cut a path to this notorious seat of power in Alba. As it cruised to the jetty, he could only feel the ignominy of it. He, the chosen king of England, being forced to prostrate himself at the feet of another ruler, to beg for aid in order to take back what was rightfully his. But he would not kneel forever. No sooner had the ship landed and its mooring been fixed than he leapt ashore, feeling his legs tremble on solid ground after so long at sea. The brisk air of Alba chilled him, but he had forgone a cloak. These savage northerners could smell the stink of weakness, and Edgar would not offer them the merest whiff. He turned to help his mother down from the boat, and she gratefully took his hand. Though she had put a brave face on this, her reservations were obvious in the dark shadow of concern that marred her features. They waited as the boatmen helped his sisters ashore, closely followed by Gospatric. The earldoman had a grim look to his narrow face, but then he had reason to be troubled. He was an earl dispossessed of an earldom. A powerful man with no power. Edgar knew full well he had only presented himself as an ally and promised to help regain the crown for his own betterment. Nevertheless, in a land of few friends, Edgar would have to accept help where it was offered. He could only hope the man they had come to meet would make a more trustworthy ally than this Saxon lord.
"Don't look so worried," Gospatric said, clapping Edgar on the shoulder. "Trust me, I have known Mael for many years and he is no friend of the Franks. This is the wisest course."
Edgar nodded his agreement, but was given no solace by Gospatric's mention of trust. Could he really trust anyone in these savage times? They struck north from the jetty along a path that cut through an open glen. Edgar didn't have to go far before they saw men waiting for them atop the hill ahead. There were five of them, each as stout and implacable as the surrounding land, their furs blowing in the breeze, their hair as wild and rampant as Alba itself. Gospatric stepped forward, sharing brief words with the men in the Gaelic tongue. They laughed, eyeing Edgar with little respect before beckoning him to follow. Not for the first time, he wondered if this was some kind of trap, if he had led his mother and sisters into needless peril, but what fear could Alba hold that the rest of the country did not? If Edgar was to take his rightful crown, he would have to show more conviction. He turned to make sure his mother and sisters were still close. Though whipped by the wind, the Lady Agatha had a firm set to her jaw. Behind her, Christina looked skittish, eyes flitting to left and right as though she expected an ambush to burst from the ground she walked on. In contrast, his sister Margrave bore that serene look to her face that always gave Edgar little impression of what she was thinking. His mother increased her pace, grasping his arm as they followed their guides to the brow of the hill.
"Are you prepared for what we might face?"
she asked, in the language of the Rus, lest they be overheard.
"Those men look every inch the barbarians we have been warned to expect. At best, we might be offered no sanctuary. At worst..."
She left that consequence to hang in the cold air.
"Gospatric has reassured me we are safe in the court of Alba."
"I believe that man less than the Franks."
"Belief is all we have to rely on right now," Edgar replied, though he hated to admit it. "We need allies, and this is our best chance to secure them."
"And what of your sisters?"
Agatha said. Edgar could sense the fear in her usually calm tone.
"I will see no harm come to them. We have been greeted by warriors, mother. Most likely it is a show of strength, nothing more."
Edgar could only hope that was true. It reminded him of another display of power he had been privy to, when the newly crowned king had offered invitations to the great and good of England.